Thank you for listening to this sermon from Hope Church, Toronto West. It is our prayer that through these audio sermons, you are challenged and transformed by the Word of God, built up in love and faith, and drawn more to the person and work of Jesus Christ. Now, as you prepare your heart to receive God's Word, we pray that His Spirit would use the sermon powerfully in your life.
Today is an important day, a very, very significant day. Today is Good Friday. And today we have one clear and biblical aim and goal as a church. And in this message and what we're doing specifically in this service, and here's our goal and here's our aim. Our goal is to remember the cross of Jesus Christ. Our goal is to reflect deeply and meaningfully on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ in our place and for our sins. That is our goal. That is our purpose. And it's a very biblical one. It's one that Jesus told us to observe. He said to remember these things, to remember his sacrifice, and to remember his death until he returns. So that's what we want to do today. But before we get started, I want to bring something to our attention that maybe many of us may not be aware of. As we seek to remember and reflect in a meaningful way, we're going to be faced with a bit of a challenge this morning. What's the challenge? Well, here's what I want us to understand. If we're not careful here today, the challenge we face is that much of our remembering, much of our reflecting could potentially be hindered today. And the danger is it could be hindered by something we're not really fully aware of. I want to share this quote by D.A. Carson. He wrote this in his phenomenal book, The Cross and Christian Ministry. It's on the screen for you. Listen to what he said. He wrote this. What would you think if a woman came to work wearing earrings stamped with an image of the mushroom cloud of the atomic bomb dropped over Hiroshima? What would you think of a church building adorned with a painting of the massed graves of Auschwitz? Both visions are grotesque. They are not only intrinsically abhorrent, but they are shocking because of the powerful cultural associations. The same sort of shock and horror was associated with the cross and crucifixion in the first century. Crucifixion was reserved for slaves, aliens, barbarians. Many thought it was not something to be talked about in polite company. Quite apart from the wretched torture inflicted on those who were executed by hanging from a cross, the cultural associations conjured up images of evil, corruption, abysmal rejection. And yet today, crosses adorn our buildings and letterheads, grace our bishops, shine from lapels, and dangle from our ears, and no one is scandalized. Yet, listen to this, yet this cultural distance must be bridged. So contrary to what our culture understands of the cross, we need to understand something important. The cross of Jesus Christ was a horrific scene. The cross of Jesus Christ was a horrific and grotesque image. The cross of Jesus Christ represents the apex of all evil. The cross of Jesus Christ is the most graphic representation of human depravity, the depravity that exists in our world, that has existed in our world from the beginning when sin entered it. I want you to think about this for a moment, because one of the things that will hinder us is this cultural distance between what actually took place on the cross and what we in our culture actually think of the cross. Think about this. 2,000 years ago, loved ones, the worst sufferings and the worst sorrows, the worst isolation and the worst humiliation, the worst physical and psychological and emotional and mental and spiritual agonies of Jesus Christ came to their climax upon the cross. It was there that the perfect and sinless Son of God was betrayed and beaten and mocked and dragged and nailed to that cursed cross. He was dragged there to die a slow and suffocating and agonizing death. Forsaken and all alone, shamed and utterly humiliated, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ died on the cross. Step one for us this morning on this Good Friday, if we are going to remember and reflect in meaningful ways, is this. Remove from your mind, remove from your heart the image of a golden diamond-studded pendant hanging around the neck of someone. Remove that image of the cross as a piece of beautiful jewelry. When you think about the cross, think about the horror. When you think about the cross, think about the terror. When you think about the cross this morning, think about the agony. When you think about the cross, think about the curse that it really was. The cross of Jesus Christ was a horrific, horrific image. And for us to remember in a meaningful way today, we need to remember with the right understanding. Step one, remove the image that this culture brings to us about the cross, and get in your hearts and minds what the Bible tells us about this cross. That's step one. Step two this morning is this. We need to ask this question. Why? In order for our remembering and our reflecting to be meaningful and significant for us today, we need to be asking the question, why? Why did he do it? Why did Jesus Christ endure the sufferings and the agony of the cross? And why is it called good? Why is this day called Good Friday? We're going to try to answer those questions as we go into God's Word. I want you to take your Bible right now and go with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Verses 7 to 9, we're going to deal only with verse 7, but I want to read a bit of the surrounding context. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 7 to 9, the Apostle Paul writes this. He writes, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he has lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ." And so we're asking the question, why did Jesus endure the cross? Why did he endure the sufferings? Why is it called a good? And the reason we find just in our verses today is that it was the will and purpose of God to unite all things to himself by resolving humanity's deepest and most damning problem. And he resolves our problem on the cross. There is one thing, loved ones, there is one deadly thing that stands in the way of your freedom and mine. There is one deadly thing that stands in the way of your peace and mine. It is a short three-letter word, sin. That small three-letter word, sin, has been destroying lives from the beginning. That small three-letter word, sin, is what condemns us. It's what shames us. It's what deceives us. It's what alienates us. Maybe even worse than all of that, it's that small three-letter word, sin, listen, that enslaves us, that places us in a bondage of sorts. Why did Jesus Christ endure the cross? And why is it called Good Friday anyways? Well, Jesus Christ endured the cross to make atonement for our sin. Jesus Christ endured the cross to earn for us and for all who would believe salvation and rescue. Jesus Christ endured the cross. This series has been teaching us to make atonement for the sins of the world. Reconciliation, we've seen. He brings us back to God by resolving the separation and alienation that our sin brings about. Propitiation. It resolves the fact that God's wrath is pointed at us. It is turned towards us, but because of the atoning work of Jesus Christ, his wrath is averted. It's turned away from us. Justification, that he positions us in right standing before God through, as we've seen, a double imputation, through a great exchange. He takes my sin and he gives me his righteousness. Today, loved ones, today on this Good Friday, we see this reality now of the atonement. Not only reconciliation and propitiation and justification, today we see why Good Friday is good. Redemption. Redemption. Today we see this reality of the atonement. Redemption, that he releases us from the slavery and bondage of our sin. So let us reflect, and let us reflect meaningfully today. I want you to write this down if you have a pen and paper in hand with your Bibles open. The cross of Jesus Christ is good because it's the place of, write this down now, because it's the place of freedom. The cross of Jesus Christ is good. We call it Good Friday today because it is the place of freedom. I want you to notice Ephesians 1 verse 7 again. It says this, in him we have redemption through his blood. Big word, redemption. Now, before we go on to discuss redemption, I don't want you to miss the first two words of verse 7. It cannot be overstated. It cannot be underestimated. These two words, in him. In who? In Jesus Christ. Paul is saying redemption is found in only one place. Now, freedom is found in only one place. Redemption is found in only one person. In him. In who? In the Lord Jesus Christ. And this means that freedom is only found in one place. This means that freedom is only found in one person. Where? Who? In the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you're sitting here and maybe you're thinking, freedom from what, Jason? Freedom from what exactly? And the answer is, as I've already mentioned, freedom from the bondage and slavery of sin. Now this is huge. The word redemption in the Bible, it refers to the buying back of slaves from the slave market. It literally means to purchase in the marketplace. It's a beautiful word. It's a biblical word. It's a word that's used to describe the believer being purchased out of the slave market of sin and set free from sin's bondage. Bondage. Now, Jesus Christ goes to the cross to redeem, to purchase back a humanity that is enslaved, that is in bondage to sin. This is a word, redemption. This is a theme that's been woven intricately through the pages of the entire Bible, and it's a theme that we must address today on this Good Friday as we wrap up our series in the atonement. But listen, it's a theme that we must address in our own lives personally today. Wherever you find yourself, whatever situations or circumstances you find yourself in today, this reality, this result, this aspect of the atonement, redemption, must be understood, that Jesus Christ in his atoning work sets people free. Free from what? free from the bondage and slavery of their own sin. Now, as a church, in past weeks, we've walked through the book of Exodus together, and the theme of the book of Exodus is redemption. It's that the people of Israel were in bondage and that God delivered them from their slavery by his mighty hand. It's an important theme, and it's an important theme for us to review and consider again. I can't imagine talking about redemption without discussing this central story of the Old Testament, the Exodus. You'll remember that the people of Israel, as I said, were slaves in Egypt, and God heard their groaning and their suffering and saw all of their oppression and all of their slavery and all of their bondage. And he sent Moses, you remember this, to lead them out from under the bondage of the Egyptians. Now, Pharaoh, you remember this, had a hard heart. He wouldn't let them go. And so God struck down the nation of Egypt and Pharaoh with a series of 10 plagues of judgment to show his authority and his superiority over all the false gods of Egypt. Now, the 10th plague would be the most deadly. God would sweep over the entire land, striking down the firstborn over every family in the land of Egypt, from Pharaoh down to the servant girl. But you'll remember this, so important, that God would choose to deliver the people of Israel from this deadly plague. They were instructed to sacrifice a lamb, and to take the blood of that lamb and to smear the blood of the lamb on their doorposts so that every house that was covered by the blood of the lamb would be spared. That on the night that that angel of death would sweep over the land, every home of the Israelites that had the blood of the lamb on their doorpost would be spared. The angel of death would pass over their homes, and they would be saved. They would be spared. Now, this is really important for us to get a grasp on. It's a remarkable story. And as I said, it's a central story to all the Old Testament. It's a remarkable story because of how deep the bondage of the people of Israel was in the land of Egypt. Just consider this for a moment. They were oppressed as a people by the most powerful leader in the world at that time. They were oppressed as a people for an astounding 400 years. They were oppressed as a people, so oppressed that their slavery actually became a way of life for them, such that they embraced the idolatry of Egypt. They had succumbed to the worldview of Egypt. They had even desired the cultural customs of the Egyptians at time. They were so essentially trapped as slaves, not only physically and beaten into submission, they were essentially trapped as slaves so deeply to a pagan and idolatrous system. And the worst part is that they really couldn't even see the extent of their own bondage and their own slavery. God had to work that in them as he took them out of slavery and as he sanctified them and gave them his law and set up his presence among them through the tabernacle. But they needed a greater rescue than they even realized. And here's the truth that I want us to see today on this Good Friday. So do we. We need a greater rescue than maybe even we realize today. You see, that old story of redemption, it is in fact our story as well. Now, we're not enslaved to the systems of ancient Egypt, but we're so often enslaved to the worldview and the systems of this present day, aren't we? We may not be physical slaves being beaten into submission, but hear this, we're all spiritually enslaved, constantly bowing down to a slave master called sin. We may not be crying out for deliverance from an oppressive and cruel Egyptian regime, but make no mistake about this, loved ones. We're all crying out in some form for freedom. The entire world is crying out in some way, in some form for freedom, freedom from the oppression of a spreading virus that is seemingly taking ground in our world. Freedom from the hopelessness and the despair that so many of us are facing in our lives today. Maybe you can relate to that. Most fundamentally, freedom from the control and the power of pride and insecurity and fear and anxiety and the desire that mysteriously rises up within us sometimes to hurt other people, to take from other people, to stand for ourselves only, to do what is wrong. It creeps up in us so often, doesn't it? If we're honest with ourselves, we'll agree it does. You know what I'm talking about. If you're honest with yourself today on this Good Friday morning, you know what I'm talking about. In fact, there are probably many days, if you're honest with yourself, you look at your life, or you look at your marriage, or you look at your parenting, or you look at your habits, and deep within you, you think to yourself, why can't I stop only thinking about myself? Why can't I stop hurting other people? Why can't I stop only thinking about me? And isn't it interesting, loved ones, that the night Jesus was betrayed was the very night the Passover was being celebrated in Jerusalem. This was not a coincidence. This was intentional, because the Passover of the Old Testament, the commemoration of the people of Israel's deliverance from the bondage and slavery of Egypt, all pointed to a greater deliverance to come. A deliverance from an even deeper slavery that exists. It's a slavery that, if you and I think honestly enough, we'd acknowledge it's a slavery that we've been in bondage to. The purchase price for the redemption of the people of Israel, the blood of a substitutionary animal sacrifice, foreshadowing this, the purchase price, the cost for our redemption and deliverance from the bondage of sin, the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is called the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. I want you to notice it in verse 7 of Ephesians 1. In him we have redemption, here it is, through his blood. It's just staggering to consider the precision of the scriptures and the sovereignty of God over all the events of human history, and particularly the sovereignty of God over the events of Thursday and Good Friday, that while the blood of many lambs was running through the streets of Jerusalem because the people in the thousands were celebrating the Passover, killing lambs, shedding their blood, preparing for the Passover feast, isn't it interesting, isn't it spectacular to know that in that very moment, 2,000 years ago, where the blood of many lambs were running down the streets of Jerusalem, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ would be simultaneously running down the wooden cross, because the substitutionary animal sacrifice of the Exodus was only a shadow and a pointer of a greater deliverance and a greater redemption. The redemption that would come to you and me. And it would not come through our good works. It would not come through our great efforts. It would not come in how good we are. It would come through, Paul says, his blood. The precious blood of Jesus Christ. Why do we call Good Friday good. Well, we call it good because of what was purchased for us on Good Friday. Redemption. Redemption by his blood. The cross of Jesus Christ is good, loved ones, because it's the place of freedom. I wonder if there's anyone listening to this, watching this right now, and something in you is telling you that you are in bondage to your sin, that you are a slave to sin, that you are longing for true freedom and you are looking for it everywhere. True freedom is found in one place, in one purpose, in one person, excuse me, in him, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The cross of Jesus Christ is good because it's the place of freedom. Secondly, I want you to write this down. The cross of Jesus Christ is good because it's the place of a forgiveness. It's the place of forgiveness. Notice verse 7 again. It says, in him, in Jesus Christ, we have redemption through his blood. Watch this now. The forgiveness of our trespasses. Now here we have one of the most precious benefits and blessings of the atonement, the forgiveness of trespasses, the forgiveness of sins. In our text, we find the most common use of the word forgiveness in all the scriptures, where it stresses forgiveness as the sending away of all of our sin. That's just beautiful. I just want you to think about that for a moment, that in the atonement, for all who would put their faith and trust in him, there is a redemption, there is a breaking of chains, and there is a sending away of all of our sins. And on the screen, Paul Enns wrote this. He wrote, forgiveness forever solves the problem of sin in the believer's life. All sins, past, present, and future. Man has sinned and needed to have his sins dealt with and removed. And I wonder if we stop right here. I wonder if this part of the message is for someone today, someone particularly in need of this theological truth that in the atonement there is redemption, deliverance from the bondage of sin, but there is, listen, forgiveness. There is the sending away of all of our sins. Maybe you are watching this and your life is marked by the daily carrying of heavy burdens, burdens of guilt, the burden of shame. You're carrying the weight and it's crushing you. You're carrying the guilt for things you've done. You're carrying the guilt for things you haven't done. You're constantly living under the crushing burden of your own failures, big failures and small failures. And you have a no peace today because deep within your heart, you feel the responsibility to make up for it. You need to do something to make up for all of your sins and all of your failings. Maybe this is for someone today. Maybe you're watching this and you have done something so terrible. No one knows about it, and you're sitting there right now. You're listening to my voice. You're looking at my face. Maybe you've done something so terrible. No one knows about it, but you know. And you fear that God knows, and you carry the weight of the guilt and the shame of it, and you have no peace. Loved ones, this could be a day. Let me phrase it this way. Could this be a day that for even one person listening to this right now, for even one person watching this right now, could this be a day where all of your sins are sent away? Could this be a day where that terrible thing that you've been carrying maybe for a year or 10 years or 30 years, where that guilt you've been carrying for so long, could this be the day that that guilt is wiped away completely, sent away, never to be remembered anymore? I'm going to answer that question for you. Oh, loved ones, this could be that day. Because of Good Friday, because of redemption, because of the bondage-breaking power of Jesus Christ and His precious blood, because of the forgiveness that He is offering you right now, if you would receive that forgiveness, all of your sins could be washed away, and the terrible guilt that you are carrying today could be sent away forever, and peace can fill your life, and joy can fill your heart, and thankfulness could fill your heart today as you think about the cross, because you know that it is on that cross that Jesus Christ has purchased your redemption. This could be that day for you, and I pray it's a day for many, many people. The cross of Jesus Christ is good because it's the place of freedom. The cross of Jesus Christ is good because it's the place of forgiveness. Finally, I want you to write this down. The cross of Jesus Christ is good because it is the place of, write this down, it is the place of favor. Notice verse 7 again. It says, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. Watch this now. According to the riches of His grace. Grace. What is grace? Grace is undeserved favor. Grace is unmerited favor. It's favor that is bestowed upon us. Listen, not because of our work, not because of any righteousness of our own, but because of Christ's work in the atonement. I want you to notice also that this redemption comes through His blood according to, here it is, the riches of His grace. Now think about this. Does Jesus have a limited supply of grace today? Is Jesus in any way stingy with His grace? No, look what the text says. It says that this redemption comes through His blood according to the riches of His grace. Grace. The old hymn says it like this: grace, God's grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, God's grace. Watch this: grace that is greater than all of my sin. Redemption comes to us through His blood according to the riches of His grace, the abundance of His grace. He's not looking at you thinking, I don't know if I have enough grace to give. He has so much grace. It's called rich grace in the Bible. And it's grace, it's favor. It's favor that you don't deserve. It's favor that I don't deserve. It's favor that comes to us through His blood because of His redeeming work. He has purchased our salvation. He has broken the chains of slavery. He has sent away all of our sins. He bestows upon all who would believe grace and favor. Oh, you who have done many, many terrible things, grace comes even to you if you will receive it. You who are carrying around the guilt and shame of big failures and even small little failures that you make every single day. To understand the gospel is to understand that Good Friday is good because it gives us freedom from the bondage of sin. It allows for forgiveness to flow freely in our lives so that he sends our sins away. And it's all according to his abundant and gracious, generous riches of grace. Oh, he loves you. Now I want to help you before we close. Before we reflect with the Lord's Supper, I want to help you. If you're here today and you're thinking, I want to receive that grace, but I don't know how. What do I need to do to receive that grace? I want to show you just two things. Two things. If you would do these two things, if you would feel these two things deeply in your own heart, if you would be sincere about these two things, then the grace of God will come to you. Forgiveness will flow freely and you will be set free from the bondage of sin. Number one, redemption, forgiveness, grace. It comes as we acknowledge that we are sinners. Would you stop resisting that and be honest with yourself? And if the Spirit of God is speaking to you, you'll realize, yes, I am a sinner. I do wrong things. In fact, when I think about it, I am enslaved. I am in bondage to my own sin, my own self-centeredness, my own pride. And I'm acknowledging that today. That's the first place to start. Acknowledge that you are a sinner. Jesus died for you to set you free. Acknowledge it. And then secondly, would you turn from your sin today and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Acknowledge that you're a sinner and don't feel bad about that. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Yes, feel the weight of it. Yes, feel the reality that it's what cost Jesus his life. But admit and acknowledge it. Don't run away from it so that you can get to the place God wants you to get to, which is turning away from that sin that you're acknowledging and putting your trust and faith in Jesus Christ. It is by grace that you will be saved through faith. And if you're listening to this right now and you want to be saved and you want to be forgiven and you want God's grace to fill your life, it can come to you because of the cross of Christ as we all acknowledge our sin even right now and turn from our sin. I don't want to do that anymore. I'm not going to live that way anymore. And put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Oh, your life won't become perfect, but you will have forgiveness. You won't become the most holy person in the world, but you will be progressively being made holy in the image of Jesus Christ. And as you count the cost to follow Jesus today, my prayer is that you know that what was done on Good Friday was done for you. It was done for me to set us free from the bondage of our sin even now, to let forgiveness flow in our lives, to send away all of our sins that we're feeling guilty about today, all according to his beautiful grace. Would you receive his grace today? I'm going to pray with you. And then we're going to participate together in the Lord's Supper. Lord Jesus, I pray for every single person listening to my voice or watching this stream service. Lord, I pray that you know the ones that are wrestling within them right now, the ones that know that they need to come to you. I pray that you would do the work of bringing people to you, that you would give by your Spirit an illumination that we can see together that we are sinners in need of a Savior, and that today there would be a turning away from our sin and a putting our faith and trust in you for forgiveness according to your grace, that we would be set free to live a life of true liberty and freedom. Lord, I pray you would help us. Thank you for the cross and what it cost you. You suffered so much for us in indescribable ways so that we can sit here today and call this day good. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done. We love you and we honor you now. In Jesus' name, amen.
For more resources and information about Hope Church Toronto West, please visit hopechurchtw.ca.